following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You can't be predictable. That's number one. You cannot be predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
All right, psychos. You don't even have to be that smart.
You don't even have to be that smart.
Well, I'm just saying this.
I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Hey, did you get your walk in yesterday? No, I didn't have a snorkel.
For 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You should never use that kind of language in a public setting. That's all I can tell you.
You serious?
It's time for the Tri-City's number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm feeling it. I need somebody to carry this team.
I'm feeling
all
it.
I'm doing is driving a cart.
Yeah, he's a man-child, but he isn't fully developed.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, need a vehicle, thinkmidway.com.
I don't know enough. I just know that, you know, why would you mess with those guys, you know?
He shows up every day biting. Who's tougher?
Well, that guy's about 6 years over his prime.
Get your resume dusted off.
The sand is falling out of Mr. Duda's shorts right now.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday, the 19th day of August. Glad to have you along with us on the program. We've got football and volleyball talk today, and we'll touch on the other sports that are relevant as well. Rick Squires is going to join us as our Loper Link today, UNK Volleyball. I think we'll have a chuckle today.
He's usually good for that.
I think we'll have a chuckle. And it will, to some that don't know, it will probably seem like a mean it'll seem like a mean comment, but it's
and
not,
it will be, and it will be.
No, it's not going to be.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll play it out. Our high school football preview today takes us to Grand Island Central Catholic. New head football coach Kurt Finke is going to join us. Our Big Ten chat to Illinois offensive lineman Ted Karras. Yes, Karras, you've known the Karras name, Alex, and on down the line over the last 50 years. He's the next in line at Illinois. Don't get him confused with Butkus, though. The Karras's didn't go
no.
to Illinois.
No,
Ted
no.
is the first Illini football player out of the family.
And how big is his family in terms of football legacy in the Big Ten? He said one of the reasons why he chose Illinois is, it's a Big Ten school that a Karras hasn't been to yet. And there's not very many of those. You know, Alex obviously was at Iowa, was one of the first picks in the draft back in the day from Iowa, pretty good stud. Yeah, it's one of the Big Ten schools that somebody in my family hasn't been to yet.
Well, we'll hear from him towards the end of the program as well. Plus, we've got a little baseball talk, and there's just a little Husker talk, obviously, from practice yesterday. They're back on the practice field today. There is no media accessibility today, so you won't hear a lot of new stuff from practice today. They like to do that a couple times a week.
Yeah, we won't hear who the five are yet. I have a feeling that'll be, the Tuesday or Wednesday before they play BYU? That'd be my guess.
And speaking of BYU, they lose their tight end. We'll talk about that as well. It's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today. Former Loper Stephen Gooden out of Hastings has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, a couple of years on the practice squad with the Giants. Tried to make a run with the Cowboys last year, and now has signed on with the Minnesota Vikings. Loper football team, soccer team, they continue to practice, and UNK opened up practice on Monday, a volleyball team that went 27-4 last year. And just to show you that polls are meaningless at the beginning of the season, the MIAA select the Lopers third in the conference behind Central Missouri and Washburn, yet they're number five in the nation, eight spots ahead of those two schools. And head coach Rick Squires joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Rick, good morning.
Morning, guys.
So you're the number five team in the country. Congratulations.
Hey, you know how I feel about that.
Well, let's get all the things out of the way here and talk about your volleyball team for the upcoming season. Obviously, this team looks different than the one that finished up the season last year. They always do, but most of the reason is graduation. You had some multiple departures, more than you've had in your tenure at UNK, for a variety of reasons. Could you address what happened in the offseason?
Well, you know, you're right. It was kind of an atypical offseason for us, and something that you know, hopefully we're not dealing with on a regular basis. I know you hear in college sports these days that you know, players are more mobile and there's a lot more transferring and things like that. And we've really been pretty fortunate over the years to kind of avoid that situation. And this year it seemed to catch up with us. And really, in every circumstance, it kind of seemed different. But, you know, if it wasn't some people who were kind of homesick and, you know, didn't feel like Kearney was a great fit for them, it was people who just weren't sure they wanted to deal with the commitment of college volleyball, or, you know, I'm sure there were people that, you know, didn't respond to the coaching they got here. I mean, it was a combination of every conceivable factor, but the bottom line was, you know, in a specifically one position, the outside hitter position, we had three girls who are not with us who competed last year and got some court time and, you know, put together some statistics that, you know, we're going to have to replace this year. And, you know, some of that occurred late enough that, you know, it became difficult to go out and recruit somebody at that stage of the game. So we were kind of faced with, you know, do we look for a short-term solution that maybe helps us get a little bit better but might not help us in the long term? And so there was a lot of juggling around and trying to make sure that we had our bases covered for this year, but we didn't put ourselves in a situation where 2016 recruiting was not what we wanted it to be. So, we, you know, time will tell if we've done that well enough. I like the group that we have. It's not as deep as maybe the group we had last year. And so we're going to have to catch some good fortune as far as keeping people healthy. But I think the personality of this year's group is really nice to be around. They're competitive, and some of our young kids are going to have to contribute. But, you know, it's kind of one of those years, and we've known about it for a while, and you know, we're going to coach them up as best we can, and I think you know, we've got a chance to be maybe a little bit better than people who follow us closely might think that we're going to be, but it's certainly going to be a challenge, that's for sure.
Rick, when you look at all the transfers and the folks that left the program, is this the new normal, or have you kind of taken a look at it, and is there adjustment that the school has to make, the program has to make, so it doesn't become the new normal, or is this just the way it's going to be from time to time?
You know, I don't think that what happened with our group, you know, between last year and this year is going to be typical. I mean, I think there is a new normal that players are going to be maybe a little bit more prone to looking around or moving around, but probably not to the degree that we had to deal with it or that we are dealing with it right now. So if anything, it certainly has forced us to kind of refocus on how we recruit. And even though we've always tried to recruit Nebraska first in the Midwest, you know, looking back to last year, we probably had a few more out-of-state players than we normally would. So, you know, looking to 16, the 2016 class, which really is already done for us as far as commitments are concerned, we've tried to emphasize the state of Nebraska again and recruiting people who already know about UNK and are familiar with our tradition. And we can't always do that. We do have a couple of out-of-state girls committed, but, you know, they're from Kansas, so they're familiar with the MIAA and things like that. So it definitely has caused us to at least stop and think a little bit about how we're going to recruit and who really is a good fit here in Kearney and at UNK. And so we don't want that to be the new normal. I mean, I think if we're going to be successful, it's going to be with players that we can develop who are juniors and seniors and things like that. So that's still the plan that we're going to take from this point forward. And hopefully we're not in a situation where we have a brand new team every year.
So you got your class finished. Who are they? Rick Squire, GNK volleyball head coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. With all that being said, and again, because the team was good and tied for the MIAA crown last year, you had quite a few girls that made first team, second team, honorable mention, all conference, four of them back. But as you've noted, they've all gone through some injuries, whether it's Sokolowski or Carver or Seeley, Ziegelbein. So as you set right now, who would be out that first weekend and how are the girls coming along?
Well, you know, what you mentioned there is kind of really a compounding factor for our team this year. With some of the departures, if we were 100% healthy, we still would be returning a pretty good chunk of our offensive firepower. But the fact that we've had to deal with some of that off-season rehab and things like that, that's where things become a little more complicated. So as we sit right now, Kelly Carver will not be available. She's coming off an ACL surgery, which actually is progressing pretty darn well. And she was actually at a point late in the summer where she was doing some things on the volleyball court, but had a little setback with a meniscus tear. And so they had to go in and scope that out. And so that set her back about four more weeks. So we're hoping maybe mid-September we're able to get Kelly Carver back into the fold. Tara Ziegelbein, Bailey Sokolowski have practiced all five practices that we've had. I would not say that they're 100%, but I would say that they're available. And at this point, that's a good thing because they both have some experience. And, you know, as middles compared to the MIAA, they're right up there near the top. I think they're, you know, not taking a backseat to anybody, and I think we feel good about putting both of them out there. Now, we have to manage their activities in practice a little bit. They can't, you know, take 500 swings a week or anything like that, but, you know, I think they're still moving in the right direction, and we're feeling reasonably good about where they are. We got to hope that continues. Aaron Seeley is going to be out there somewhere with Kelly Carver not being available. One option that's being considered is to have her hit on the right side for a while because she is one of the most effective attackers we have on the team. She's got a huge arm. And so if freshman setter Lindsay Smith is up to speed and ready to go, then we'd have a chance to put Aaron over there on the right or kind of, you know, move in and out of having her set and hit. Caitlin Thomas is a returning starter, even though she kind of won the job late in the season last year. And so we feel pretty good about that position on the left. There's a job up for grabs on the outside that, you know, we're still kind of taking a look at. And there's some jobs in the back row up for grabs, but we really like the talent pool for those back row jobs right now between Morgan Studi and Allie Rouse and Ellie McDonald, who are all freshmen but really talented. Skylar Erickson is doing a nice job as a passer. We're trying to get her maybe a little more acclimated as an attacker. But I think we're going to pass well, defend. I think we're going to set well. It's a matter of can we put enough physical athletes out there on the court at the net to do what you have to do in the MIAA to be successful.
Rick, is there somebody out there that has really raised your eyebrows, maybe performing better than you anticipated or better than you remember?
Not as many as I would like to see, but, you know, we're seeing flashes of it. You know, Kendall Schroer was pretty good today, the middle from Ogallala, somebody that we know is a high talent. Connor Newberry had a good day, who's an outside hitter from Texas, a freshman for us. We were seeing some good progress from Brianna Pontius, who's a junior college transfer from Johnson County as an outside hitter. And then she had to sit out today's practice with an Achilles tendon problem. So those are the kind of things we're just not going to be able to afford because she's got some experience, and we were starting to see some potential there as somebody that could score points for us. So all in all, we're still pretty encouraged, but it's a little delicate, you know, with the depth in a few of these positions. So we're trying to get through this early season where we're throwing a lot at them, and it's a little more physical in nature than it will be later. And we just kind of got to keep our fingers crossed that we'll be healthy, because I think if we are, then we'll do enough things right that we'll have a chance to win. But we'll only be able to absorb so many losses from the injury standpoint, and really expect to be up near the top of the MIAA.
Rick Squires has covered a bunch of questions I had wrote down for him here, so we'll see some of the freshmen getting in there. We've answered kind of some of the injury situation. You've covered most of the local gals, so let's look at the big picture here. You will see some competition that first weekend. Again, it's cool that you get to go to Alaska and play at Alaska Anchorage, who has a good program. And
Cool, I get it. It's cool, I get it.
Well, you know, I'm sure the coconuts will still be packed away in there somewhere. But some of these preseason tournaments, you never know. Some of them are just like, okay, we're playing four teams and we're way better than all of them. That's not necessarily going to be the case here, going a long way from home, hoping to have some fun. And you'll see a couple of teams that are in that 20 to 25 range in the rankings.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those deals where I think maybe we were the first team to commit to the tournament. So we didn't know all who was going to be going out there. And it kind of turned out to be, pretty high power tournament, with Anchorage being a good team, especially at home. And, I don't know how many people really follow Division II volleyball that closely, but Rockhurst has been a mainstay in Division II. I mean, Coach Ritzky is maybe the winningest coach in Division II. He's somewhere around 1,100 wins or something like that. So he's got a heck of a team, and I think maybe the best team he's ever had there. So they've got a bunch of veterans and are probably underrated at this point. And then you play a couple of California schools that, they know how to play volleyball. So that'll be a real test for us right out of the chute. And, we got to play well enough that we can pick up at least a couple of W's in that tournament, and then come back and get to play at home for a little bit. And through the course of that first 2 weekends, hopefully kind of figure out what kind of team we can be and how we can be successful. So it's not a deal where we get to go kind of, play a couple of weak opponents and afford to try things and learn while we're winning. I mean, we're going to have to be ready to go right out of the chute.
Rick, you kind of touched on it for me a little bit, the question I want to ask, and that is a lot of moving parts here. You're trying to figure out your depth. You're trying to figure out rotation. At what point do you really kind of want – obviously, you want game one to have everything kind of all solidified, but realistically, when do you really are going to have a good idea of what you've got out there and everybody's role?
Well, I mean – it would be nice if we can go out to Alaska Anchorage with some idea what we're going to do. I mean, with Kelly Carver not in the equation, I would say it's a little more realistic to look at maybe that first week of MIAA competition to have a feel of, what rotation we're going to put on the floor and, what our long-term plan A and plan B are going to be. So I would say, that's probably a little bit more realistic right now, is, trying to make it through the first 2 weekends and play those 8 or 10 matches. And then by the time MIAA competition gets here, that's still where, your final destination will occur. If you finish in the top three in our league, then you can realistically aspire to be in the NCAA tournament. If you finish in the bottom half, then you're fighting just to get into the conference tournament, and then you're talking about having to win that darn thing to get into the NCAA tournament. So I would like to think at least the bulk of those decisions and, all the dust will be settled after those first 2 weekend tournaments.
Rick Squires, head volleyball coach, UNK. Last question, Coach, and we'll let you get out of here. Next month it'll be homecoming and Hall of Fame inductions, and Aaron Arnold is going to be going in. Maybe just a comment.
Well, I mean, they don't get any better than Aaron Arnold and anybody that's followed our program over the years. You know, that's the rare combination of ability and work ethic and, you know, one of the best people you'd ever want to be around and a great competitor and, you know, played on, you know, her senior year, a team that raced out to 40-0 and got beat in the semifinals by a Truman State team that kind of played out of their minds, actually. So, you know, and we still get to see her about once a year in the spring. She comes back for the alumni tournament, and she's still got some game. We'd take her right now if she had a year of eligibility left. So very happy for her. Great family. You know, couldn't be anybody that deserves the recognition more than Aaron Arnold, that's for sure.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to work and always appreciate the chats throughout the year. And best of luck up in Alaska, and bring me back a snow cone.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on, guys.
See you, Rick. Thanks, Rick Squires, head volleyball coach, UNK. We'll talk questions for Coach probably the next couple of times that we talk. We have seen Coach Squires and a lot of programs like this where, okay, one year we got five seniors and we're making a run at a national title. And in this case, it's a regional title because a regional title basically
is tougher.
Is
it's tougher. Yeah.
And then there's sometimes you look at a team that probably not because this isn't where he was. You're building that team. The problem is you're building that team and all of a sudden, okay, 2000, you know, let's just take this year for instance. He's talking about the recruiting class in 16, and you got to think that maybe in 18 – With the crew, the freshmen he has now, and the kids that are recruiting, and with no disrespect to the seniors, but there's only two of them, that's what you're pointing for. So if he was pointing towards 2015 and four or five gals are no longer with the program, that really changes things up a little bit. And I think this will be a good team, but it will also be building the foundation for 2 and 3 years down the road, because even next year they're still going to be young. As Coach said, unless you start bringing in a bunch of JUCOs, and let's face it, I don't know how many JUCOs are better than anything that the Lopers have ever been able to recruit.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple, but, you know, for the most part, those are necessity.
If UNK volleyball was a stock, this is where you buy low. I mean, right now, I don't think the expectations are as high, but if you hold on to that stock for a few years, which is exactly what you're saying, they could very well be the entire deal. You know, and again, you almost have to be that just to get out of the region. And we talked about that, and I don't want to beat the dead horse with that, but losing the bodies that they lost certainly does hurt, but it does open up the door for some of this great young talent that's out there to get experience, cut their teeth, learn what it's like, play in a very tough conference, get seasoned so you can be prepared to take on that tough region, that tough conference, and just kind of learn and grow. And again, the outsiders have a tremendous appreciation for what UNK has been able to do over the years. As you mentioned, they're rated even higher. They're seen as the best team in the MIAA by the national media, even though they're
the
national coaches, and not necessarily seen that by members of the MIAA, but that isn't because the MIAA doesn't know them. It's I don't think that they've really truly invested. I don't think UNK has been embraced by the rest of the conference yet.
I think the MIAA does know them, and they do know what has happened to the players that have left. I think when you have that preseason, you go, okay, this is what they had last year. Okay, they had two seniors. They finished fifth. They're in that region. They got all the – I mean, most of those coaches in the nation have no idea that most of these girls that are gone.
Right. But I think they're – again, your reputation probably carrying a little bit more there. And again, I think UNK can very well be that wild card in the MIAA where they could be the best team in the MIAA. I think it's possible. But again, I don't think it's going to be – this year may not be the year that they win that region.
Never has been.
Well, again, with the 17-time national champion coming out of the regional every year, and the, you know, what was it, three of the top four national.
Five of the top six.
Five of the six is what it was.
Are in the central region this year, including Wayne State. The only one that's not is the defending national champs and preseason number one from Tampa. Then the next five teams in the national rankings are all in UNK's region. Again, we'll talk about it again. We've talked about it from time to time. It's just hogwash. It's insane. It's whatever. But I think the Lopers, there's always some pressure, but it'll be a totally different kind of pressure here. The Lopers don't have to worry, because to host that regional, You have to, like, lose once all year have a chance to host that regional. Well, that pressure won't be there. That's not expected of this team. So if you're not number one and hosting, then you know it doesn't really matter what seed you are because every one of them is a national tournament game. The point now is to play well, get better, and just make the tournament.
Get in and get hot is really what it's going to boil down to. Make sure you play well enough to get in and be hot at the time and see if you can catch fire and make some do some damage down the stretch.
Well, volleyball taking just as much time from our sporting lives as some of the other sports. Ron Powell, good article in the Lincoln Journal-Star about high school volleyball in the state of Nebraska. Check that out if you can. Our final Loper Link note, don't forget that it's Blue and Gold Welcome Week, and this Saturday from 4 to 9 at Foster Field, there will be all kinds of activities going on. Loperville will open at 4 o'clock. The football team will hold a scrimmage from 5 till about 6:30, and then at 7, Coach Lamerson, Coach Mazner of soccer, Coach Bonzel of cross country, Athletic Director Plinsky will all give a short little talk to the fans, and then from 7:30 to 9, fans will be able to engage in the fan day atmosphere. They've got interactive games run by the Loper student athletes, so you can get autographs and pictures and all kinds of fun things for the family. This Saturday, go to lopers.com for more information. That's our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank. Back to the football field, Grand Island Central Catholic head coach Kurt Finke, Illinois lineman Ted Karras still to come.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
The 2015 Oregon Trail Rodeo takes place at the Adams County Fairgrounds with performances on August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Dance to Whiskey Vent on Saturday night starting at 9:30, and on Sunday enjoy a free barbecue for all ticket holders from 3 to 5 p.m. The rodeo starts at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 5 p.m. on Sunday. General admission tickets are only $10 each. For tickets or for more information, log on to AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com or call 888-462-3247.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with highs in the low 70s. Northwest winds will stay from around 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head down to 51. Then we climb to 82 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 63.
Doug and Natty's show rolling along. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Whatever it is you want, it's whether it's their fabulous chicken, whether it's the wings, the sandwiches, the salads. Maybe you just want a grilled chicken breast. You can put all your favorite sauce on it. Check it out. Switch it up. 10, 12, 30. That's the thing with going to a chicken coop. I like that one. I probably still haven't had every sauce on the menu at the Chicken Coop.
Oh, you'd have to.
What? First of all, when you get one you like, why would you leave? Well, that's my thought. Once you find one you really like,
Jack,
why would you leave?
honey Dijon, no. Which sounds like a, no, it's got kick to it. The
right.
Spicy honey, the Dijon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. The Jack was like the first time the chicken coop opened, got that on the bone-in wings. Still very, very good. Now they've got a few new sauces out there. So whatever your favorite is, put it on your favorite chicken. If you're doing something besides chicken, pizza, salad, steak, ribs, you don't have to put the sauce on. But they got the duck wings. You can do that as well. Whatever your favorite is, stop by and enjoy a good lunch, a good dinner, maybe just some afternoon appetizers at a reduced price, your favorite beverage, play some Keno, have some fun with family, friends, coworkers, or meet some new friends at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. The Royals won. I'm not making fun of your Reds because it was just one of those.
My son asked me legitimately while I was watching the game, so who are you actually rooting for? It's like, well, you know, the Reds' playoff hopes are kind of bad, so kind of rooting, you know. So I'm on the bandwagon. It was an interesting game.
I hope they can keep it up.
Zobrist off of Chapman, that was an electric moment.
Zobrist just been playing very well.
Yeah, he's been a great acquisition, and again, fills a lot of needs for them because, you know, he can play second base with the injuries to the outfield. He fills in admirably in the outfield as well. Yeah, he's been a great acquisition.
Ned Yost getting tossed. Two very close reviewable plays. Both went to review. Both went against the Royals. And to me, I kind of agree with Lefevre and Hudler last night on the television broadcast that it's tough to tell one way or the other.
The swipe tag is a tough call.
One was overturned.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. The swipe tag is always a tough call. I personally thought that he got tagged, and I thought the reaction by both players indicated that he actually got tagged as well.
And at second base, here's the one thing, and we've talked about this, Jimmy Langan and I have talked about this replay stuff. There are some times where going into second last night, Escobar was out by 5 feet. Okay, that he did some kind of a nice move to possibly get his foot over the tag. I mean, in the old days, however you want to say it. I mean, you're out every time. You're going to be called out every time.
Right.
You are out.
If you're
out.
The ball beats you, you're out.
And that's what, and that's one thing about basketball officiating. You know, well, I'm going to let that one go, but then all of a sudden replay, and then you're in a bind. You're in a bind. So it's the other side of what's going on with instant replay. BYU, man. That's fine. They keep getting hurt and injured.
We're not rooting for that.
But BYU is down another guy. Coach Bronco Mendenhall says their number one tight end. Now, they call it a traditional tight end because they play a variety of different formations where they may not line up a power tight end.
Right.
So this kid,
slot guy, is kind of a tight end. Yeah.
This kid, Steven Richards, was their number one, but he's out, even though he was a redshirt freshman. Just a non-contact drill. And goes down with a knee injury that will keep him out for the season. So they're out him. They're out their running back. They're out the kids that are going to be suspended. They've got a couple other guys banged up. And as far as Nebraska goes, they're so far, knock on wood, the injuries have already occurred in the offseason. They're trying to get them back, not get them knocked around in practice. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But right now, let's move on to our high school football preview as we continue to take a look at all the Tri-Cities teams and others from around the area. We've got Grand Island up the next couple of days. Kevin Stein from Northwest tomorrow. Today, though, it's the new head coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, and Kurt Finke joins us here. We talked to him after the hiring. And, Kurt, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, how we doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, what have we learned about the Crusaders since taking the job?
Kind of knew when I took the job what I was getting into. So we got a bunch of good kids here that work hard, very comfortable on the football field, and got some talented players that were trying to fit in positions all over the field. And that's the main thing right now, just trying to get them to fit where it helps the team the most.
And you're going to have some changes in the backfield a little bit. Talk a little bit about the quarterback race. Probably the senior wins the job, but where are you at with that and also at the running back position?
Well, you know, our quarterback is a two-man race right now between Wyatt Gleason, who's a transfer in from Centura, and Aiden Ansbaugh, who's a junior for us this year. And both extremely good athletes, you know, a little bit taller. Aiden's about 6'2", and Wyatt's only 6 foot, but they're both really good athletes. So they're battling out. Right now, we couldn't pick a If we had to decide right now, we'd probably flip a coin because they're both good. And the other one's probably going to fill another position for us somewhere on the field because we have to get our best athletes on the field. Running back-wise, Josh Ahrens is probably our fullback right now, doing a great job. Senior running back, got a lot of experience, kind of a load to bring down. But Jonah Bales is right behind him as a sophomore and doing a wonderful job. And then we have two slot backs in, Chase Wenzel and Nathan Boone, that have a lot of experience coming back from last year's team, that are both extremely gifted runners and elusive and pretty quick. So we feel very comfortable with what we got in the backfield right now.
We're talking with the new head coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, Kurt Finke. We all have been told over the years that it starts up front. And one thing that I think is interesting, and you take Johanna Guyfon away from the equation, I guess, but Grand Island Central Catholic is not going to be big along the line this year, but they never really have been, Coach. They're a quicker, I don't want to say more athletic, it's just a different style of athlete. And I assume they have to be coached in technique, and things are just a little bit different when you're not 230, 240, you're 180, 190.
Right, and, you know, I give a lot of credit to Tom Moore, our offensive line coach, that thank goodness is coming back this year. And, you know, he's done such a great job over the years, obviously, that these kids have came into camp with great technique and footwork. So that really hasn't changed for us. So the offensive linemen, they really, all they had to do is learn new terminology for my plays. And but you're right, though, we're not huge. You know, my starting center is 170 pounds, and Austin Walton is one of the toughest kids that I've seen as a coach. You know, when you have your starting center is also a state qualifying pole vaulter, that's kind of a unique combination between the two. And, you know, you throw in Josh Punchikar in there, that's a returning starter. And, you know, he's one of our bigger returners at 200 pounds. And Josh is a tough wrestler that does a great job. And we're looking forward to seeing what he can do on the field. And I think one of our, I don't want to say a secret, but, you know, Jordan Piebeck is a junior, and he didn't get a ton of playing time last year as a sophomore just because of the sheer numbers ahead of him. But, you know, he's our biggest kid. He's about 5'10", 5'11", about 220. And, you know, he's one that we're going to lean on heavily for leadership up front. So you throw in Trayton Rule up there and Michael Cornelius. So we have a very good mix, not to mention Seth Ostick, who's a smaller kid but does a great job for us technique-wise.
Let's talk a little bit defensively. I know Bales is back, one of your leading tacklers from a year ago. How are things looking for you on that side of the ball?
You know, once again, I'm just going to name drop here with Keith Kester, our defensive coordinator. He's been at Grand Island Central Catholic for I don't even know how long. He probably doesn't want to tell anybody either because that just gives away his age. But, you know, he's just a fixture. And the wonderful thing about this, being the head coach here, is nothing changed on defense. The kids' terminology is the same. So, you know, we went to camp down at Concordia, and our defense was outstanding. So, and we didn't even have quite a few of our kids there. So we're really, really looking forward to the defense side of the ball. I know we got some new kids in there, but, you know, I don't think we're going to miss a beat there in terms of technique and coverages and stunt calls and all that type of thing. So, you know, we're very comfortable on that side of the ball, which makes it easier for me as a head coach to concentrate more on the offense and spend a little more time there.
Grand Island Central Catholic football coach Kurt Finke with us another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One thing the Crusaders have always had is a good place kicker. Now, that's not all special teams. When we say special teams, we talk snappers and returners and kickers and defensive and all that. But you got C-Lock coming back. Have you been in? Can you tell in practice what kind of special teams you'll have?
Yeah, I mean, Bryce is actually just coming to camp this week. He was gone for the first week, so, you know, he just came back on Monday, and on day one he just started showing me what he can do. You know, it's nice to get kickoffs down the end zone, and, you know, he's got such a leg on him, such great technique, that it's going to be a joy to have him. It's a great tool to have as well. So he's wonderful to come back. You know, our punter probably is going to be Josh Ahrens. He's made some of the most improvement in just the preseason that I've seen, because he's booting the ball extremely, extremely well. The one thing that I know on our team that was impressive to me on day one was our long snappers. And once again, I go back to Coach Moore and Coach Schroeder for that, because our long snappers are extremely well, and I think a lot of people take those for granted. So we're very excited to have a couple really good long snappers in Trayton Rule and Tommy McFarland and Seth Ostick that do a great job. On the other side of the receiving, you know, we got good returners in Chase Wenzel and Nathan Boone, and then we got a couple young kids in Samana Dente, and then we have a freshman, Ben Riley, that's going to, we hope, give us big dividends back there, because he is extremely quick and fast and pretty elusive for a freshman, so he'll get a ton of playing time in that regard.
Kurt, how's the transition going in terms of, you know, Charlie been around for a long time, you kind of coming in. You had the summer and things like that to kind of get to know the kids and understand everything. How is that transition going for you and the staff?
You know, it's going really well. I mean, I think the person that needed to do the most adjustment was me, you know, because everybody, the other, you know, the 47 kids out there were all with the other coaches before. So I'm just trying to fit in and have them learn my way and adjust my way of coaching a little bit to fit their needs and wants. And, you know, it's been a great transition. The coaching staff is awesome to work with. And, you know, we have my paid assistants, I guess, and we have a group of volunteers that come in and do an outstanding job. So, and not to mention our booster club and our parents that, you know, take care of us on the field and help us with field maintenance and things like that. So the transition has been extremely easy for me. I can't speak for the kids, you know, but, you know, I do things a little bit different. You know, I'm kind of an old school coach, and I like things done a certain way once in a while. But, you know, it's been a very good transition for all of us, I think. And it seems to be a great atmosphere at practice, and the kids are having fun and learning. And, you know, that's the main thing.
Okay, Kurt, so what's still old school? We're old school here in the booth, so what do you consider old school?
You know, I'm still a big coach on, you know, you never walk on a football field. You know, you don't use bad language, things like that. You treat players with respect and officials with respect. Not anything that they didn't do. That they probably did that before. I just wasn't there as much. So, you know, it's one of those things where just a lot of flying around and just being respectful of each other and being respectful of teammates and, you know, taking care of your equipment. And, you know, I know my coaches are still out there coaching and back in Western Nebraska a little bit. So I kind of just go off what they did, and I guess you kind of coach the way you were brought up. So that's kind of the way I try and run my program.
And this schedule is not going to be kind. This district is very tough. You guys held, Central Catholic held their own in the district last year. But, I mean, Huskerland Prep has you fourth. I think there's definitely throw those top four in, and anything could happen with Holdridge, Central City on the come here, and Kearney Catholic. Plus, you start with Broken Bow, and then it's on the road to Milford and Gothenburg, Boone Central, the defending champs, on your schedule. There's not a lot of gimmies on this one.
Yeah, I come from Ashland, where my wife still lives and works, and you know I see the Ashland coaches, and they brag about their schedule being tough, and I would switch with them in a heartbeat. But, you know, it's one of those things where you know you got to get better, you got to play the best, and I know that's an old cliche, but you know we're not going to back down from anybody. I know our kids have some teams on the schedule that they're really looking forward to. I know this first one with Broken Bow, I know they weren't very happy with their performance last year in that game, so that's a red letter game for us. But you're right. I'm familiar with Marty Hinkst at Milford. I know he's always going to bring an A game. And then, you know, the rest of them are very, very, very tough opponents. We've seen Central City in 7-on-7. Obviously, Kearney Catholic and us are always going to be a battle. And I know Holdridge has some really, really good players that I know was injured last year during the time they played GICC. So, yeah, we don't have an easy road, but, you know, it shouldn't be that way. We just need to play very well each game and get better, and hopefully we'll be there at the end standing tall.
All right, Coach, we look forward to talking with you throughout the season and wish you the best of luck. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Kurt Finke, head coach of the Grand Island Central Catholic Crusaders. They're going to have – I mean, they're going to
schedule.
Be good.
Yeah,
but there's,
and they're going to be scrappy.
There's some 50-50 games in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Milford, Gothenburg and again, if Central City's as good as everybody says, there'll probably be a dog there. Holdridge, and they beat Kearney Catholic last year, mm-hmm. the only team in the regular season to do that. So it'll be interesting to watch these guys. They open next Friday home against Broken Bow. Well, you've been hearing us talk about the Alzheimer's Walk coming to Kearney, and as usual, hey, it's here, people. We're 11 days away. It's Sunday, August 30th here in Kearney, and as you know, I am one of the team leaders.
You're a leader, Doug.
There's about a dozen of us in the Kearney community.
And we want to win. We want to win.
We'd love to win.
You know, we're kind of a sports thing here. We want to win.
The bottom line is, The Alzheimer's Association is the winner, and we thank those that have already donated. And you can find out all kinds of information on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. We know Alzheimer's has affected a lot of people. Cancer has affected a lot of people. There's a lot of things that we can talk about, but Alzheimer's Association is what we're talking about today. And just a couple, three folks that have come up and said something to me well away from everyone else, it's something that... From time to time, I think I have it. I can only imagine what folks, my grandmother had it. But we think about this elderly, 80s, 90s, that doesn't always seem to be the case. And we are trying to research, help as much as we can. And as you said, Randy, we want to win. And we have ways of, you know, making.
We got listeners. Stuff other people don't have.
That's right.
We're going to bring it.
I'm not giving away a car today, but the folks here at the station are trying to convince me to take a pie in the face or dress up in a tutu for the walk or something crazy like that.
You notice he said for the walk as opposed to the normal tutu.
That I like to wear around the house. What we're going to do now is we have some Royals vouchers. We've got some T-shirts. We've got some tickets to the state fair, to the Tony Orlando concert, among others, that we would be giving away. Basically, what I'm going to say here is a donation of $50, we're going to get you a pair of Royals vouchers, which are good for two tickets. Well, you know what tickets are worth. So basically, the value of the tickets are more than what you'll be donating to the Alzheimer's Association. We will continue to do that. Every $50, Royals vouchers, you get a pair of them. Any donation will also get you qualified for a guest host appearance on the Doug and Daddy Show. This is a lot more popular than I ever thought it would be. We've put it up on some of those silent auctions before.
Are you kicking me out of the chair? Is that what I'm going to understand here?
And we've had some fun. Some folks just want to know what we do in here, and we don't really like to tell them.
Yeah.
We don't really like to tell them. So anybody that you can come into the radio station or go on the website. If you just want to swing by the station, maybe you're picking up a Wheeler dealer, and you want to write a check for $25. That would be outstanding. And everybody will be in will be qualified to co-host the Doug and Daddy Show. So help us by donating to our Doug and Daddy team, and then join us, if you would like, at Yanni Park starting on August 30th at 11:30. There's a family fun day, and then the walk to end Alzheimer's starts at 1 o'clock. It's really, it's Yanni Park. If anybody that's ever been there knows how awesome that place is.
Be a lot
is.
Of family fun events as well.
And there's going to be a lot of fun going on out there. You can find out more at alz.org/Nebraska. So call or stop by our station in Kearney. Go online to alz.org and then /Nebraska to donate to the Kearney Doug and Daddy team to help end Alzheimer's. And just for donating, you could T-shirts, Royals vouchers, and a whole lot more. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com for all the information, and we thank you in advance for your support of the Alzheimer's organization.
And it is such a terrible disease, and it isn't one of those things that anybody should have to be subjected to, whether they be the person suffering with Alzheimer's or a loved one, because they suffer as a result of it as well. They do all sorts of wonderful things with the Alzheimer's Association, and it's a disease no one should have to put up with, and we don't have to take it anymore. We can fight it, and this is a great opportunity to do that.
We thank you for your help. When we come back, our Big Ten chat, Ted Karras of the long lineage of Karras's, offensive lineman at Illinois, will join us.
Nebraska weather is so unpredictable. Don't be left out in the storm with hail dents or even door dings. When your car plays the star in the episode of Nebraska Severe Weather, see the professionals at Dent Popper in Kearney to save you. Dent Popper can remove minor hail damage, door dings, and other minor dents without damaging the original paint. Joel, Scott, and the guys at Dent Popper know how important your vehicle is to you, and keeping it looking nice is what they do. Stop into Dent Popper today, just south of the library on First Avenue in Kearney.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design. The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
You want the best, you demand the best, and the Carrier Infinity system is the best. Higher efficiency means higher savings on your energy bill. With an Infinity system, you control temperature, humidity, air quality, fan speed, ventilation, the entire system. The Carrier Infinity system allows you to enjoy a more consistent temperature throughout your home. Call today to learn more about this customized comfort system tailored to your home from Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating.
I really don't feel like going to a Mega Mart for the couple of things we need. Parking, crowds, yuck. I don't need a Mega Mart. I need Midtown Mart.
Midtown Mart on West 2nd and Hastings with one convenient location so you don't have to do battle with gazillions of shoppers when you really want a few last-minute grocery items. Gas, wine, beer, and spirits. For convenience, forget the Mega Mart. Head for Midtown Mart, West 2nd, Hastings.
Hey, kids, want to be part of the coolest club in Major League Baseball? For just $25, you can join Slugger's Blue Crew, presented by Learning Quest 529 Education Savings Program. Kids 14 and under get a Royals performance t-shirt, a flat bill cap and sunglasses, plus two free ticket vouchers and VIP access to the Skippy Fun Run. Sign up at royals.com/bluecrew, and you'll be forever royal. American Century Investment Services, distributor and underwriter. 4500 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64111.
ESPN Radio Superstation. If you haven't been to Prairie Hills, I just ignored it. If you haven't been to Prairie Hills Golf Club lately, folks, then you just haven't been to Prairie Hills, because Justin Kosmicki and his staff this year have dramatically taken the course over, improved the greens, playability of the course, and it's never looked better. It's all at a price that seems like a generation ago. On the weekends, you can get 18 holes in a cart for only $30. And during the weekdays, check out their specials on their Facebook page or give them a call at 388-5115. They've also got an improved menu in the clubhouse. So with that, improved greens and great rates, Prairie Hills is the place to be. If you haven't been there lately, then you haven't been there at all. It's only 10 minutes north of Kearney. Fall golf, and we're still in summer, but the golf season isn't over. It's fun to enjoy at Prairie Hills Golf Club.
They got a great couples night deal on Friday nights where it's a pretty cheap date. And, you know, I'm trying to get my wife a little bit more involved in golf, because if she golfs more, I get a golf more. So it's good. All part of the plan.
Happy family.
Yeah, that's right.
Empty nesters. Hastings College volleyball team is also nationally ranked. We talked about UNK earlier in the GPAC, and national rankings came out at the same time here. It's going to be a dogfight in the GPAC. Midland, Northwestern of Iowa, Hastings, Dort, Concordia, all sandwiched with about 20 points in between the top five, and four different schools receiving first-place votes. And then they're all top four in the national rankings. Midland at number 9, Northwestern of Iowa at 12th, Hastings 22nd, and Dort is 25th. Coach Matt will catch up with him before the season starts as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And then, as usual, the Hastings soccer teams are both nationally ranked. Now, they're not in the top 10 in the preseason this year. The women are 13th, and the men will start the season at number 17. It all gets going.
I bet they get into the top 10 before it's all said and done. It's just kind of what they do.
Probably do okay, will they?
No, but they'll do all right.
It's time for our Big Ten Chat, brought to you by Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska.
First Big Ten Conference game for the Huskers and the Fighting Illini, and we are pleased to be joined by Ted Karras, big number 69. Did I get that all right, Ted?
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody is dressed up to the nines today with the suits and ties. Every once in a while you see the school polo shirts. I think maybe Michigan came in like that, but
Illinois has a school colored tie, I noticed. You guys,
yeah, no,
you
got,
is that the smart guy tie?
No, this, I don't know. I got this as a Christmas gift. We wear these when we take our team pictures, so I figured.
Yeah, all you guys rocking the same tie. It's a good look.
Well, we got Mason Monheim wearing a bolo tie today, so.
Sweet. I've seen the bolo. I've seen Calhoun from Michigan State had the bow tie, so we got the nice look here. It's nice to talk other things than just football, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the feeling. There's been a couple things with the elephant in the room today, so let's just talk about the allegations against Coach. How do you guys handle that with some guys maybe not on the same page as other guys that are trying to just go out and play football?
You know, it was unfortunate and kind of a distraction, but it actually rallied us together as a team pretty well. And, no one's really concerned about it right now. We got 6 days till camp. You know, we're not sitting at home dwelling on allegations. You know, we're ready to put our helmets on and get to work.
Do those distractions only last until it's time to play football?
I mean, with today and all the distractions you could have, you know, it started on Twitter and, it was unfortunate and we kind of rallied together. And I don't think... It's lasted longer outside the program as it has inside. We've moved on, and we're ready to play some ball.
You got your injury last year, messed the knee up a little bit, and we're talking with right guard Ted Karras. How are you, and how did you get through spring?
I'm feeling better than ever. You know, it was first class all the way they handled it. It was at Ohio State, and, I'm feeling stronger and faster than I was before. It's weird how those things work. They told me, if I just followed these steps, it's worked out. I'm ready to roll day one of camp.
What's the toughest part about recovering from an injury like that? Rehab, not getting to play. What's the toughest part dealing with that?
I mean, yeah, I've never set out before, really. You know, that was tough. Just how long it is, I've had, broken bones maybe last 6 weeks. This is a six-month commitment to where, you're in the training room every day, working as hard as you can. And sometimes, the improvement is only 1 degree of flexion, in a week. So you got to be patient and take your time and work as hard as you can.
You wouldn't got where you were without talent and a drive and all that. Does the fact that you missed the last four games, you've had to fight through this injury, does that add to it, or are you already about as high as you could get with that drive?
No, I mean, it definitely adds to it. I mean, I was high before. I don't know. You can always improve everything, I think. And, it just made me want football so much more as far as, seeing my team rally to make a bowl game. And, I wasn't necessarily a part of that on the field. I was on the sidelines helping out, and it was tough, but, I couldn't be prouder of him. And it made me – I'm so excited to be able to put a helmet on again because I had to sit out the spring. And, I haven't hit anyone in a while, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's about time.
Who's the first poor devil that's going to get run over by you?
I don't know. We got a – well, helmets only practice for a while, but I can't wait.
That don't mean anything, does it?
No. Not for the O-line.
Ted Karras of Illinois joining us here. And, yes, the name is familiar. And, yes, you have the lineage of all of the great football players from Alex to Dad to Uncle. I mean, you've had everything in there. How much has that helped? And then on the other side of things, how much has that kind of said, boy, I've got a legacy I got to live up to?
Well, you knew what you were going to do from a young age, All my family are also coaches, so I've been around the game, since I was 3 years old, as far as I can remember. All I've ever thought about was playing in the Big Ten, being a Big Ten lineman. And when I got that opportunity, I got two opportunities too, and I chose Illinois, and it's been the opportunity of a lifetime.
Well, your great uncle Alex obviously was in communications. Your major is in communications as well. He was an actor. Mongo, among others, and my favorite role of all time of his, is did that kind of lead you into this, or is this something completely separate from that? Because like you said, everybody's a coach in your family, it seems.
Yeah, I've always been good at communicating, I guess, writing papers and giving speeches, and we have a really good program at University of Illinois, and they told me about it when I was getting recruited, and when it was time to make a decision, one of the highest-ranked programs in the university, I thought I should just go for it.
What do you want to do with that major?
I've already got my degree in that, so now I'm in grad school for recreation, sport, and tourism. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I'll play as long as I can. I'm open to pretty much any possibility.
Talking with Ted Karras, take me a little bit about the football team. You came into a situation, and it started to grow and grow. A couple of lean years with Coach Beckman trying to get things turned around. Where do you think Illini football is at now as you head into this season?
I think we have a chance to compete for the West Division. I know... we haven't won as many early Big Ten games as we should have, but I think it's pretty even. Obviously, getting a new staff in Nebraska and Wisconsin, that's probably going to give a little learning curve, even it out a little bit. and no one's really distinguished himself as the true favorite in the West.
And you guys have eight returning starters on offense, and it seems to me that there's a tremendous amount to grow on there. I know you've got the hunger missing the last four games of the year. What are you guys going to be able to do offensively you think you're going to be really able to hang your hat on?
Yeah, well, we have Westlund and Josh Ferguson. Westlund, obviously, we got it's priority number one is to keep him healthy as the offensive line. There's going to be really no one who hasn't played on the O-line, at least in game experience. They've been in the fray. As a team, we're coming back with almost 300 starts. So, I mean, that's a big luxury here in this conference. And, we're gonna rest on Westlund's arm and Josh Ferguson's legs to lead us, score some points.
Sometimes it's difficult to make the transition when West starts in one place and then joins, doesn't come in with the recruiting class. How has he been able to adapt to that? Because, as you said, when he was healthy, he was pretty darn good last year.
Yeah, he's been here. This is going to be his third season. So we've developed a good rapport with him. You know, no one ever even thinks about his time at Oklahoma State. You know, he came in and redshirted. I think that was the rule. And, he's been a guy, part of the team for 3 years now. So, I mean, it's he's part of our culture, part of our team, and a leader on our team.
And you guys start the season, the conference season with Nebraska. When do you start paying attention to the conference opponents? Obviously, if you go 0-4 in the non-conference, that isn't where you want to be either. So you have to kind of do week by week. But do you slowly start kind of pointing toward that conference game?
I mean, yeah, we definitely have it as a big game. We've been to Nebraska the last 2 years. So now you guys are coming to us. I think this will be the first time for everyone in the whole building, everyone in the organization, to come to Champaign. So it's a great opportunity for us, and it should be a great game, and it's going to be awesome to have a Big Ten opener at home for us.
So what do we, Ted, need to know when Husker fans come to Champaign, besides just there's going to be a football game, you want to come a day or two early? What do you do when you come to the University of Illinois or the campus in the city?
The city's a pretty big city. As far as Champaign-Urbana, it's about 80,000 people total. I mean, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of different aspects. I mean, it's going to be easy to travel there. It's not a bad drive. Pretty straightforward. Probably all corn.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how long it would be. We usually fly in. But, I'm sure you guys will travel really well. You always do. And I'm excited for you guys to come in.
You had a lot of options in terms of where you could play football. And again, the Karras family, very famous within the Big Ten Conference. But you looked at UCLA and had some other opportunities there. Why Illinois?
Well, nobody in my family had played there before. My mom was actually a graduate of the University of Illinois. I knew I was going to be a Big Ten guy. Even though obviously I had to go check out UCLA. And
you're flying me out to LA. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I had to go check them out. But it was the best fit for me. And at the time, academics and an opportunity to play early attracted me. And it's been one of the better decisions I've ever made.
Is it hard to prepare for a team like Nebraska? Mike Riley comes in, kind of new. There'll be a few games there, but they don't really have a full flavor of what he wants to do. Is that hard to prepare for a team like that?
Anytime with a coaching staff change, we might have to go back and watch some Oregon State film. But we're going to have four non-conference games to get a little glimpse of what he's trying to do. And, with the personnel they have, I'm sure they can do just about anything, a pretty deep team. And, I'm excited to see him on film.
Offensive lineman, Fighting Illini, Ted Karras joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ted, appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck this season.
Thanks, Ted.
Our Big Ten chat brought to you in part by Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer, and Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. We'll talk with Rutgers head football coach Kyle Flood, who the Huskers travel out there this year in November, and we'll talk with the head coach tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
That won't be as easy as a lot of people think. I mean, Rutgers
I don't think anything's going to be real easy this year.
Yeah, and Rutgers, they're a program that years ago was outstanding, one of the top 10 in the country, and I think they had the potential of on the way. Who was their running back? I don't remember.
Ray Rice.
Oh, that's how long ago that was.
They weren't terrible after that, but
there was a stretch there. I don't think it was the Ray Rice years I'm thinking of.
They and Connecticut were kind of battling there for a few years about getting into big-time bowl
right,
games.
And this was after Connecticut's years. And that was the year that Louisville was a stud. It was Louisville and Rutgers because you look at it in the top five, I'm like going, what are these teams doing in the top five? Yeah, so that was, I don't know, about 8 years ago? About 8 years ago. Great story, Bush. Keep going.
This isn't a story. This is a deal. Farmers, you can now get the best value ever on the best pivot system available today. T&L Irrigation's 2015 Harvest Special is here and can save you $9,000 on a quarter miler. You can contact your local T&L dealer like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney or go to TLIRR.com. Great savings on the T&L Irrigation systems, which are like no other. And you can't do better than the 2015 Harvest Special. Save $9,000 on a quarter miler from T&L Irrigation like no other. We'll be back and wrap things up after this.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Your customers make your business. Every day you want to attract new customers and keep the ones you have, at the same time running your business within a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, wall graphics, banner stands, and even wraps for your company vehicles. Copycat Printing can help you stand out at the fair or conventions with a booth that will turn people's heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, 21st and Avenue A in the downtown Kearney Center, or visit their website, kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Call or stop by our Kearney radio station today or go online to alz.org/Nebraska to donate to the Kearney Doug and Daddy team to help end Alzheimer's. And just for donating, you will get the following prizes. A donation of $50 gets you a pair of Royals vouchers, $100 two Royals vouchers plus parking pass, and any donation will get you qualified to co-host the Doug and Daddy show live with our very own Doug Duda. Please help by donating to our walk team, Doug and Daddy, and join us August 30th at Yenny Park starting at 11:30 a.m. with a family fun day followed by the walk to end Alzheimer's at 1 p.m.
The undisputed, undefeated Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Doug and Randy Bushcutter winding down a Wednesday where the Chevy Summer Bonus Tag Event is going on. Find your tag and choose your deal. Get 0% APR, an additional $1,000 purchase cash or $500 lease bonus cash, depending on which way you're going, on select vehicles and choose the deal that fits your need. It's the Chevy Summer Bonus Tag Event going on right now at your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. How about the Midway Auto Outlet? If you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle with over 250 used vehicles online, you can visit them as well at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Again, the Huskers are wrapping up practice. I want to go to the Dent Popper inbox. He struck again twice in a week. H-Man from Riverdale. If Mike Riley has been such good coach, then why is the new Oregon State coach, Gary Anderson, saying what a tough job it has been to totally rebuild that team? Now, I'll be honest, I haven't been paying attention to what's going on at Oregon State. That would be a little concerning.
Yeah,
we know by the way, Randy, that the seat was starting to get warm out there. They wanted Coach Riley to move some of his assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been 500 or a game below for a little while here.
Yep.
And a lot of people believe that is why Mike Riley had an opening and had plenty of opportunities in the past, but this is why he took this one, because it was starting to get a little stale out there.
And if you're Coach Anderson, you don't go, wow, man, whew, I've really inherited a wonderful situation here, and if I don't win the Pac-12 championship, well, that's on me. That's not what a new coach is going to say. You know, a little bit of that is the opposite. But it is true that Coach Riley was on a little bit of a hot seat out in Corvallis before this all happened. So, I think it's a great comment. But again, you have to understand Gary Anderson isn't going to talk about the previous coach leaving him a lot of weapons because you lower expectations. That way, if you meet it, you look like, hey, I need a raise.
Hey, Gary, you thought Oregon State was a better job than Wisconsin. That's on you. It's time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday if you agreed with the decision to not allow Northwestern players to unionize. I think this is a pretty common non-athlete response. 89% says yes, they agree. Today, we ask you, now that Alex Rodriguez is 40 and hitting just below his career average, how much longer can Alex Rodriguez play in the major leagues? One more year, two, or three or more? Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. I'll probably be a little crazy here. I'm gonna hedge the three or more. Now, I'm not going to say six, right, five or six, but I think he can get you to three.
Two for sure. I mean, I'd have to think about whether or not he's going to get that third year because, again, he had some time off. He got a little time to recover, and he may have used some things to help with that recovery a little bit early on in that suspension period. But, he's showing no signs of slowing down. And great athletes are great athletes. And if you take good care of yourself, you can be productive later on in his career. And I don't know, A-Rod's having a heck of a year this year. So I see no reason why I couldn't stick around at least two. I'm leaning toward two instead of the three plus.
Coach Riley talked a lot about his running backs yesterday at practice.
And there's a freshman in there that they're pretty high on as well. I think for Nebraska this year, it's going to be more about depth. It isn't going to be hand the ball to number eight and watch him go. You know, I think it's just going to be a lot more about depth and different packages for different guys.
And because it is depth, we've talked about this at a variety of things. We talked about it on the O line where they say, well, we're just going to play five and not rotate 10 because he's never had that kind of talent or depth at Oregon State or previous stops. And even Coach Riley said yesterday after practice, we've got enough guys that we can use. Yes, I was a one-back man at Oregon State, but we didn't have what we have here.
Right. You good coaches, and I think Riley's a good coach. I mean, you don't win some Grey Cups, and you don't coach in the NFL without being a good coach. I think he's understands that's the strength of the team. You got to use that strength. You know, and I think that depth at running back is one of those things, one of those tools he's going to use.
Well, here's part of what Coach said yesterday.
But it really is better for everybody if you have two or three guys kind of share that job to take the burden off. We've always before been a one-back show. Steven Jackson, Kenny Simonton, all those guys, Evanson Bernard, Quiz Rogers, every year they'd gain a lot of yards. Career-wise, they'd have 5,000, 4,000 total. I mean, it was incredible, and they lasted. But I really think that in this day and age in football, to have two or three guys that are you could just put in the game and rotate in, it's probably a very good thing. Not committing to how we're going to do it yet, but I think with this group, we certainly could do it.
Before we get out of here, a couple more items to put on your calendar for the weekend. Golfers, should be a great Friday. Why not compete in the almost annual Jerseys Golf Tournament at Meadowlark Hills? This four-person scramble tees off at 1 o'clock, $300, but cash prizes. Burgers follow the tournament. Head to Jersey Sports Bar to celebrate a great, great day. So get your four-person scramble team signed up today. Time is running out. Stop by Jersey's, top of the hill in Kearney, and get your team ready to win it all. Put the entry fee in, 1 o'clock, beautiful Meadowlark Hills this Friday for the almost annual Jersey's Golf Tournament at Meadowlark Hills.
And if you'd rather run a golf course than play golf on it, well, we have the opportunity for you, the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. If you thought it was too late to register, au contraire, mon ami. The event is actually going to be Saturday morning at 8:30 with the 5K, both the run and walk, and then the kids' one-mile fun run will be at 9:30. Again, this will be at Yanny Park. You can walk up the day of if you'd like to and register, or you can register register a little bit earlier by going online to carneycatholic.org. It's a fundraiser for the Activities Association, but it's also a great way to remember the life and the legacy of Lizzie Stratton, who passed away from cancer some years ago, a freshman at Kearney Catholic at the time. So it's a great way to kind of keep her memory alive, and it's an event that the Activities Association at Kearney Catholic is very excited about. And again, you can walk up the day of and still register. So if you're a runner, prizes and all that, official times, that sort of thing. So a great opportunity, 8:30 Saturday morning at Yanny Park.
And who said August was a boring month?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff to do. If you're out there and want to get after it, you can get after it.
Hey, we want to thank our guests on today's Doug and Daddy Show, from Illinois offensive lineman Ted Karras, Grand Island Central Catholic head football coach Kurt Finke, UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires. On the show tomorrow, Rutgers head football coach Kyle Flood is our Big Ten chat. Kevin Stein, Grand Island Northwest, will be our high school feature. And we've got more. Carl Tesper from St. Cecilia is going to join us on a Friday's show, and a whole lot more Big Ten interviews to bring to you over the next week as well. High school football season begins a week from Friday on the 28th, and we'll continue to get you ready for that. So, Randy, have a good one.
Yeah. Scrimmage is coming up this Friday, so football is just almost there.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.